There's four of us, the David Sinclair Four. But there's only one. Pete Jones Show on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. You know it adds up.
Tonight, it's all about Mr. Sam Jones. Sam, how you doing?
Hello, Pete. I'm all right, thank you. How you doing?
I am doing really well, and more to the point, having heard your little warm-up session as you were thwunging away there. Write that down, that word, by the way. Thwung. I was just thinking, wow, this is great, because it's kind of a privilege. I was sort of trying to let you know that normally it's a bit of a scram getting in to do the show after the lovely Josie from the Glitterbosch. But she wasn't in tonight live, so we were privileged. We were spoiled.
We were.
And you got to do a whole track in the warm-up and everything.
It's very nice.
How are you?
I'm not bad, thank you. I've got my cup of water here, which you so kindly prepared for me. So
Very nice. Chat show, I thought.
Oh, yes, yeah.
A little bit Letterman, a little bit.
Not quite Graham Norton show, because it's champagne or something like that.
Yes, it's whatever you want, I think.
Yeah.
Whatever
he wants.
Yeah. He's normally got a very large glass of white behind him, hasn't he?
Probably,
yes. There's an ale on the table, and there's normally a glass of champagne. Whatever the guests, I think, want. As you can see, look around me, you can see my tastes for the tipple. In a fine pint glass here, Captain Morgan Spiced.
Yes, it's water.
But it is water, thank you for pointing that out.
Sorry to spoil the illusion.
Fair enough. What the guys between the glass and us are doing, God only knows. apologies for them. God only knows what I'll be. What brings you this way? Because, you are a very talented chap. And,
thank you.
You know, I'm loving what you're doing, but you're kind of new to the town, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I came down here back in September of last year, and that was for to begin my time at university. So that's initially what brought me here.
The lovely BIM, we should say, the lovely BIM.
Yes, to the famous Brighton that it is. And I'm already a changed man.
Are you?
Within 6-7 months, you know.
Tell me, Sam, look me in the eyes. Are you changed in a good way?
A darker way, I'd say.
Wow,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Already? Would you put that down to BIM, Brighton, or just the fact that you haven't slept for 9 months?
Probably the latter, yeah. The no sleep, you know. Yeah, and the late night essays and the...
Yeah, you're fooling no one here. Late nights, yes, but I know you work like a working like a dog out there. You do, and I know all BIMmers that come in put a lot, put 110. I'm going to come out with a cliche, 110% in. Was it BIM that obviously brought you here? But how did you find out about BIM itself? Is it sort of high up on the list of?
It was during the year that I had a gap between finishing college, getting to that cliff and falling off the end, not knowing what I was going to do. But I knew a couple of people who'd come down here the year before I had.
From your hometown?
Yeah, from I'd gone to college with them. And so it was that was kind of a door into this world, kind of curiosity. So before that, I'd gone during this gap year. Went off to Florida for a little bit and did a few gigs out there.
Did you have family friends or?
Yeah, I've got family out there, my aunt and uncle and their family, so I've got to stay with them for a while, which is great. And
what is Florida like?
It's kind of like this, how England is at the moment, humid.
Did you find like-minded?
It's very different.
Yes,
there.
That's
it's
what I was. Yes, that's where I was heading.
But we won't go into that.
No, okay, no. Fair enough. Did you? So you took your guitar with you, obviously.
I did.
Did you do a lot of?
Had one out there for me.
Did they? Yeah, bless them. Luckily. They had it flown in.
Yeah.
A man of your stature. Of course they did. Where am I thinking? Did you get a lot of writing done down there? Were you kind of there with your sort of clear headspace and beautiful?
Because I was there for 2 months, I think. So I had plenty of time. Specifically a point in time where I'd been out with my younger cousin who's like a sports fanatic,
right?
And he got us out playing basketball, which I've never been meant to play.
You're a tall man.
I am a tall man, but flat-footed, and basically the end result was a nearly broken ankle, which meant 3 weeks in bed not moving.
Oh, are you kidding?
So I wrote quite a few new songs during that time, which was good.
Okay.
At the same time, binging on American TV, which was quite unhealthy.
Yes,
actually.
Yes. Yeah. And in the heat, the swelter.
Yes.
Did you get to go out and see any live music in Florida? Or?
I did. I think, was it last time? I saw a band, there's a Beatles tribute band who's my aunt's next door neighbour.
A Beatles tribute band?
Yeah, and they're great guys.
What are the odds on that?
I got to go and see them playing a little gig up in Pensacola, which was really cool, which is just just up upstate.
Just the name sounds good.
Pensacola. It was at a Harley Davidson bar as well, so it was just the cool of cool, you know.
What do they do? Do they do the mop, the wig? Do they do the early Beatles?
They do it all. They're all there in their gear, and they've got all the authentic stuff, you know. And the wigs obviously aren't authentic hair. But
no, fair enough.
But
that sounds a lot of fun. So then with that kind of headspace, you thought, look, I need to find a place, find a college, mm-hmm. focus in on my writing. This is what I want to do.
Yes. Yeah.
And BIM was on the list.
It was. I'd come down just a few months prior to flying up to Florida. And I'd come down here and gone to an open day and was quite inspired by what I saw in their presentation, you know, the part where they persuade you.
Where they sell it well.
Yeah, they get your autograph and your signature and you're contracted.
You're in. What's the audition, if it is an audition, or the entry process like?
It was quite nice, actually, which was a surprise, you know, like all these things, you build up your own idea of what it's going to be like. But I got in there and I just kind of had a chat with him, the guy, you know, and played him a few of my songs. And it was only when he got to the music theory bit that was a bit scary.
Is that where you glazed over a little?
Yeah.
But that's the point of going to college, right?
Exactly.
If you know everything, why go?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Is it useful? Is it something that you can see? Is that the kind of the dry slog of the course?
Well, the theory. I think the theory is definitely useful, depending on who you are as a musician, what you're going to be doing with it. And for me, just when I'm writing songs, I never use it. The tunes just kind of come to me out of thin air, you know.
But it's an added layer of depth, isn't
it? And if people in a music lab want to be going through the details of the theory behind the songs I've written, then they're welcome to
let them do,
you know,
it.
But
let them.
Because I'm not doing that myself, you know.
I hope not. Don't overanalyze your navel. Would you like to play a track for us now? What have you got lined up?
Yeah, this song's fairly recent. It's called... Sorry, just
don't worry.
Lubricating my throat.
You slug away, so it's hotter than a fan oven in here. It's ridiculous. I do apologise.
So this song's called How Can It Be?
How Can It Be? Folks, you are listening to the lovely Sam Jones. Do go to the Pete Jones Show Facebook page. You can like us and mention us and do the rest. And text us anything you've got for Sam, 07909-547-336. Take it away, my friend.
How can it be such a beautiful world, yet nothing seems fair? No, nothing is fair. You look through me, feel are lost in the sea of a hopeless hope at the end of the road. But I will love you, yes, I'll still love you, yes, I will, ooh, I will, ooh, yes, I will. What can I say? It's a beautiful day. Still something's not right, and I can't bear to fight anymore. Oh, no. Thank you. such a beautiful world, when the pain never ends. Oh, I wish it would end. One day you'll be free and you will fly from the tree in which you carved out your name. I'll remember your name, yes I will. And I will. And I will. And I will. Ooh, yes, I will.
How can it be there from Sam Jones playing live for us on the Pete Jones Show? Sam, that is a great song. It's
Thank you.
You've got a great talent going here, I tell you.
Thank you so much.
Because that's is that the same one you played for us earlier? Because that
it's not.
No, yeah. I was listening. You see, you I've got a few texts coming in already. A text from Anna saying, "Lovely, gorgeous voice." Yes, I know. I agree. I totally agree. Thank you for that. 07909 547 336. Do text in if you know Sam as well. Do text in any support. Tell us you're listening out there. Tell us, you know, if there's anything you want us to ask the chap, because he's here. It's a well-worn question, and apologies if it sounds too cliche, but we all have these kind of crazy influences from wherever they're from our past, our parents, from the record collections they had. What do you think filtered through for you that sort of sparked you and inspired you and makes you want to do what you do?
The most original of influences, I'll have to admit, you know, is the Beatles.
They're there, they've got to be there, haven't they?
They have to be.
It's just ridiculous.
They were played to me as a baby while I slept. They were yeah, you know, yeah, being fed into my subconscious.
They were your lullabies.
So yeah, my dad brought me up on them, and my parents in general just brought me up on huge music, you know. And
but do you know what's bonkers about that? I mean, okay, that was when you were a kid, but you know, a couple of days back I heard Can't Buy Me Love,
right?
Like, that's so early 60s, and yet it sounded stupidly fresh.
Yeah,
how does that happen? I mean, yeah. I can't imagine how many times I've heard that song.
Well, they're innovative production techniques that they were,
the old George Martin
touch.
Well, I agree, but I mean, you know, there's something, just the freshness of their voices.
Yeah, it's great, isn't
I don't
it?
Know what
yeah.
it is.
And it continued through until, you know, I mean, I'm doing some work on them, studying their catalogue.
Oh, interesting.
For an assignment, and kind of as observing how they're probably one of the only bands, really, that if you kind of look at their whole catalogue, the amount of change that goes on through that.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, you've got bands who they start and they finish with the same thing all the way through.
Yes.
You know, not taken away from that.
No.
I'm just saying, in terms of, because they're nothing really, they paved the way. They had to find their own way.
I can't agree more.
And, you know, so they kind of just used their imaginations and did it all, you know.
And that's often, and again, not to take anything away from other artists since, but often the second, third, fourth, you think, well, really?
Mm.
Really? That's really the first album again? Mm. You know, is there anything you can do and stretch? And and I don't know why. I mean, maybe it's because there's so much pressure on the first album these days.
Yeah, but
there was none of that back in the day. You know, often it was their second, third, fourth album that was the big one.
Yeah.
And the Beatles had all that time, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's because, I mean, they had more time once their touring career had stopped.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Because, but even before that, they, not only were they touring, they were doing, they had to, their contract was that they get at least 2-3 albums out a year, you know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Crazy.
So that probably forced them into having to come up with new things, because otherwise you do it, the repetition must be, you know, it must just get so repetitive.
I guess it must. And also, though, again, going back to the fact that there was no precedent behind, before they were carving their way, there was no concept then that you could spend 3 hours, or 3 years, sorry, on an album. I mean, that would just be like, what? You know, death, you know, that. And the amount of time, especially their first album, the first output they were doing in a day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, 10 tracks, there we go, bang, next one. And they were saving tracks towards the end of the day, so Lennon's voice sounded hoarser and, you know, scratchier, and which I just love. What it's a great concept, isn't it? Yeah. So they're basically live albums, weren't they?
Yeah.
And do you feel the influence of them in a sense, even if it's sort of subconscious, in some of the writings and the way you use your voice?
Yeah, or? And even if it's... I mean, I fully am aware of that, you know, that influence definitely comes through in my work. People have told me that, you know, so there's no denying that, you know. But I think that's a great thing in a way, you know, because it kind of, to me, I have such respect for them that I'd like to kind of pay homage, tribute to.
Yeah.
But I'm also, you know, I think because of how varied their work is, it also, every song that I churn out is different from the one before. Which is quite interesting, really.
And using that template, as you mentioned earlier, as a sort of influence and an inspiration to keep striving, keep making something different. It must be quite a taxi. I mean, you know, there's waves there's Beatles and then there's anti-Beatles. I'm going through the decades and then you get back to Britpop and they all love the Beatles again and then there's thing. But they still bob up and down, don't they? Yeah. Like a wave of Beatle love.
An influence that's quite close to them in a way. Literally the studio next to them in 67 was Pink Floyd.
Right.
Who, you know, is rumoured they were influencing each other at that point. And so I discovered them more recently. I mean, for the last 5 years probably.
Sure.
And they've been a major influence on a lot of my more recent work.
And again, talking about bands and periods, which kind of section of Pink Floyd are you mostly drawn to? Because they had like three different eras. Really.
I mean, their first album is amazing. It's not really, it's definitely not very commercial, you know, then it wouldn't be. It was Sid, The Mind of Sid Barrett.
Yes. Let's not enter that one.
So the first album is very different
to
the rest of their career
because
it was the only one really with Sid Barrett. And it was also made at the same time as Sgt. Pepper. And so that's why it's such, you know, it's got experimental things going on, it's psychedelic.
And Pet Sounds with the Beach Boys, and they're all chucking in the mix.
Another great one, you know.
Crazy.
So I really love that first album because you can't find anything like it since, you know. But also, I'd say from Echoes, and then it's The Dark Side of the Moon, and then it's Wish You Were Here.
And then you're off.
And then all of that, you know, it's just great. And it's not just it's like David Gilmour's guitar work.
Yeah.
So when I'm not on an acoustic, on an electric, a lot of that comes from David Gilmour and studying how he works. And I was actually in a tribute band to Pink Floyd which was
really
great. So yeah.
Oh, well, that'd be brilliant. so how do you mix up? So do you get the electric out and rock it on out? In fact, you gave me a CD that we're going to play in a couple of after another live track, hopefully. You said, "Oh, Pete, is there any way you could play a track just to give the listeners a sort of sense of how else I sound?" And is that something that's going in tandem with the obvious acoustic sound, or is it a direction that you...
It's coinciding with it all, you know. Most of the songs that I write can be easily enough replicated on just the acoustic.
Yeah, because that's how
they're,
you, that's the
but
you
they're all
them.
Written with the intent that they could be on a full band on a stage, and they're suited to either or, really. You know?
Do you want to play another live track?
Yeah.
We'll talk about bands and the differences between solo and... with a crowd behind you.
Great.
In a minute. What are you going to... We've just had a text in, actually, from Mandy. Mandy, Phil, Sharon and Amy listening back home in Winchester. Well, very welcome to
Never heard of them.
Sling my hook. Proud.
They are
very proud, they say. You sound great, as always. Yes, he does sound great. It's fantastic. Very, very good. Thanks for that
Thanks,
text.
Guys.
Text us if you are out there. 07909-547-336. Sam, what are you going to play?
This one's called Chase.
Okay.
So here we go. There is an epic guitar solo at the end of this one, but obviously can't do that.
Really? Seriously?
I could give it a go. I don't think so.
Pass over that electric. I'll see what I got. You take it away.
Go. him somewhere where it's safe to do so. Don't know what you're chasing, trying to find the right place, but you can't change your face. Well, I know you don't want to know, but I see you everywhere I go. And to tell you the truth, you gotta let me, you gotta let me go.
Chase there from Sam Jones, playing live for us on the Pete Jones Show here on Radio Reverb. Sam, that is sounding so good. We've got a couple of texts in for you. Wow, it says, wow, Mad Auntie Sue. I'm liking this woman already, I'm telling you. Mad Auntie
Hey,
Sue is listening. She's been a fan of this remarkable young man since he was tiny. Go, Sam, go. Well, there you go. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Sue.
Please send a pic. I'm just intrigued now. Another text in. Hi, Sam. Tracy in Florida listening.
That's my aunt.
There you go. You sound fantastic. So proud of you. You weren't making up the Florida story. This is true.
That's all true.
All true.
Yeah.
And there was me doubting it. There's another text in from Florida. Guys, you're more than welcome out there. Hang on. Florida. That's probably, is that like 6 or 5 hours back?
Five, six. Yeah,
something
it's
like
one
that.
Of those.
So
yeah.
It's like 1 o'clock there. Oh, yeah. Boy. You must be sweltering on the beach, you lucky people. Sam is the man. I'm the neighbor that lives next to his mad aunt and uncle in Florida. He didn't say mad,
but oh, hey.
I just put that in. I'm assuming it's the same one. To his aunt and uncle in Florida, and have listened to him at local gigs. And he is a natural. He has blossomed into an awesome musician. Love his music. Love you, Sam. Well, thank you
so much.
Thank you so much. And Tracy has just corrected it. It is 6 hours. 6 hours back.
There you go.
I was going on the New York, D.C. thing, and I was thinking that's probably the same, but I always think that's about five. Maybe it's different now. Maybe
it's a big place. It's
maybe
vast.
It changes. Yeah, but it's on the timeline. You know what I'm saying? So lovely to have you guys in Florida listening. That is a treat. I'm glad the wibbly wobbly web is working too. You never know. I mean, sometimes it doesn't get to Hove. You know what I'm saying? And Hove, if you don't know, is just over there. So that's grand. That's a gorgeous song. I just, you know,
thank you.
Think it's great. And I'm kind of intrigued because obviously you're sitting opposite me and you're just there in your snappy suit and your guitar sounding beautiful. And you were talking earlier about wanting to get a band behind you and maybe changing the sound or expanding the sound.
Yeah.
Talk me through that.
Well, I've always had this idea of what the music I'm writing will and should sound like with a group.
Yeah.
Like I say, when I was little, I was watching Beatles, I was watching bands on TV thinking, that's what I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
That's still what I want to do. It's, yeah, I'm just kind of setting up, really. I've got quite a lot of material written. All of it, like I said earlier, is well suited to bandness.
So songs that you haven't put down on CD yet, songs that you're working on.
Yeah, in my bedroom on Logic Pro.
Yes, bless Logic Pro.
Oh,
bless.
Yeah, it's great, isn't
yes, it? Yes,
it is. I couldn't do that in the 60s.
I don't think they could. No, there'd be George Martin with a quarter inch tape wrapped around his head. Sort of going through a wah, wah, wah. But, you know, they had fun.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't have CBeebies, so, you know.
So, yeah, so that's what, you know, that's what I'm aiming for. You know, I'm a fan of people who their passion is going to intimate gigs with their acoustic guitar and just doing that. And if, you know, some of them are just natural born for that. And, and they're either just, they've got like a loop pedal or something and they do all the harmonies there. And
how do they do that?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Have you ever heard of a guy called Ben Christophers or Ben Christopher?
I haven't.
He kind of shone bright for a few couple of years, and I saw him live in Brighton actually a few times, and you sound a bit like him, but he was all of that. It was
right.
you hear on the CD and you think, wow, there's a big band, and then you go and see him and he's doing it all on echo repeat and blah blah blah. It's another trick, isn't it?
It is, and I fully appreciate that and respect that. It's just I know what I want, and that's I could do the loop thing, but actually I like playing with other musicians. You know, that live sense, and one day, you know, to be able to put on like a huge show with lighting and like Pink Floyd with their light show.
Go on,
you know,
yeah, definitely. All that and, or ELO
and just,
or someone.
Yeah, and just making huge music, you know, and there's only so far you can go with just an acoustic, you know. And
so how easy is it to put a band together that's going to be behind you?
Well, it's very easy to do on Logic because it's all
yes, my friend, but that ain't the real world.
If cloning could hurry up and exist, that
come on
good,
cloning, you know. Come on.
I'm at university.
You and, are. You're at a good university.
And you know, that's filled with musicians.
Yes.
Fellow BIMmers, as you could call them. And they're all, you know, there's a variety of courses. There's drumming course, bass course, vocal course, you know, all the instruments that you would need.
Yes.
For a band. So at the moment, and it's part of my assignment anyway, to get a band together.
Okay.
You have to do that part of your course, really.
How does that work? Because in my head, I've got this image, a little bit Fame Academy, I'll go there, of everyone at BIM, okay, all wanting to be what you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't work if you want to make a band out of four or five of those. Are there people that are there and they want to be in a band? They want to support you? Oh, is it where, is it very fluid where they might be in your band and they also are singer-songwriters and they also might be in someone else's band? Is there that concept as well?
It's such a... It's just random, you know?
It's like a flowing river.
Yeah, you get all sorts of characters there. And if you're if I ask someone to be in my band who's in my class on the songwriting course,
yes,
then likelihood is that they're a songwriter who wants to be doing their own thing as well.
So they're not the right person.
Unless you can juggle, you know, I'm just saying, you know, there's session musicians who are, their mentality is playing for other people.
So actually the people are at BIM who are very all-out session musicians.
They're like, right, I want to, you know, and that they want to be working as musicians for people. The only problem is you have to pay them. But,
oh,
you know.
Even when you're at college?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Well, if it's outside of that, you know.
Really? Oh, yeah, wow. I guess you do.
Well, I think that's probably the only con, really.
What about the old fluid payment?
Yeah.
Well, because no one's paying you, you know.
No, exactly, and that's the problem. If you're kind of like an established level where you're getting paid for gigs,
yes,
which is very rare at the moment, very, very difficult.
In this country, yeah.
I was going to say earlier, Florida, happy to pay. Great.
Well, you see, there you go. But also, we've had guests on in the last few weeks who said it's great in Germany, in Berlin, it's great in Paris or around France. It's really good. Like, literally €250 for a gig. Mm. Now, that's where in Britain,
we're a bit snobby,
at our level. You know, it's crazy. And I don't know what that is, whether it's in our culture or whether it's just there's so many of us. I don't know.
I don't know. Don't know. Blame the man.
Can we blame the man?
Yeah.
I tell you what we're going to do. While we're blaming the man, and let's face it, he's blamed. We're going to play a track from your CD, your studio CD. Tell me which track you'd like me to play.
It's a full band song, so it kind of ties in nicely with what we've been talking about. That's why I'm not playing it acoustically, because I kind of want to give an idea of what it's all about.
And this is on Logic Pro, yeah?
It's all done there, yeah.
Love you, yes.
It's quite recent. It's called It's Good to See You.
It's Good to See You, okay.
It's,
Just before we play it, a quick text in from Uncle Don.
Uncle Don.
He sounds like the Don. Hello, Uncle Don. Sam, you are amazing. Keep up the good work.
Well, thanks so much, Don.
Hear, hear, Don. I agree. And we're just going to see what you sound like studio-wise. Track from Sam Jones, It's Good to See You. I'm getting, why am I getting feedback on that? Whoa. Maybe to, in keeping with the music. Whoa. That was a track called It's Good to See You. It's from Sam Jones's CD here. So I'm gonna can I nick this?
Oh, of course.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's for you. It was intended
to
you.
Oh, you're a good man.
You have it.
Man, this guy's good. Sam Jones was just, you know what, just so we can play them in the next few weeks. And obviously, if when you get new tracks down, even if they're demos going forward, let me know. Mm. Let me have them, and I'll tell people they are demos. This is
great.
A new work in progress, Sam Jones, blah, blah, blah. It's just good to keep you, you know, on air, getting tracks, because I'm just loving your work, and
Thank
it's great.
You. Thank
so,
you
know, that's why we're here. And also, when you might get some more CDs out or get back in the studios and do stuff, come in again for another session and maybe bring some of the band.
Will do. Definitely.
This
I'd love
band.
To.
Are you anywhere along getting a band?
I am, yeah. I've got a drummer. And I've
okay.
got potentially got a keyboard player now.
Whoa,
So there you go. Yes. And
can you do other stuff? Do you play any other instruments?
Yeah. So everything you hear, apart from the drums on like that track we just listened to, was me. So that's the there is a keyboard in there, but it's very low in the mix. And there's a obviously a bass and the guitar, and I do play drums as well, which is always just for fun, really.
You're a bit of a Paul Macca yourself, aren't you?
Oh, don't say that.
I love seeing him on, I think sort of mid-Wings period, or when he first went solo in the 80s, like 1980, 81, that kind of period.
Yeah.
And he's doing everything. He's doing the whole lot, isn't he? There's a great video, I can't remember what song it is, but he's just doing everything. You think, oh.
Yeah,
dear,
see, lucky. If I could do that in real life, then I would have a band, you know?
Well, you know, lovely text in, beautiful songwriting, Sam, lots of love, Romani.
Oh, thanks, Romani.
Thank you, Romani, for texting in. You guys can text in right now. Get a little shout out. 07.
That's lovely.
909-547-336. You're listening to The Pete Jones Show here on Radio Reverb from Brighton, UK. I think we have to say that. Well, because half these guys are in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, how good is that? Brighton, UK, WWOZ, you on an alternate. I can't do it. I love American radio. It's the best.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's the best. They got, like, everything is like six letters long. And I don't know what it stands for. It's always a WWWC. Tuning into Florida radio. Anyways, we've got the gorgeous Sam Jones here for us. So you've got a semi-band going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What about gigs? Do you ever get time to get out and do any gigs?
Not so much this term. Last term, the most I did were the famous Brighton open mics, you know, the open mic nights.
I do know them. They're great, aren't they?
And so, yeah, and that's the most I've done so far, really, just due to the nature of the time you spend working on your assignments.
Yes.
And also just naturally kind of fitting slowly into the life of Brighton, you know, and finding your feet.
Yeah. And finding what venues work as well, I guess.
Yeah.
Any top favourites of open mics that work for you or ones that don't?
Well, I couldn't speak. I haven't done enough yet to really judge on what the best would be, but the ones that I've done, there's one I really like at the Brunswick because it's just such a lovely, intimate setting.
I don't think we get through a show without bigging up the Brunswick.
Oh, yeah.
They are so
good.
There you
go. Have that for free.
Well, well, they deserve it because they, you know, night after night, they put on some fantastic shows.
Yeah.
And the open mic's no exception.
And that was the first open mic I ever did in Brighton, actually.
Oh, great.
That was the week I started, actually, here.
It's such a great venue, isn't it? It
really
is good.
Yeah.
What about going to gigs? Do you get a chance to see any local bands or supporting your own? Or?
Well, I get to see a lot of fellow students doing their gigs, you know, open mics.
Yeah.
Again, you know, that's probably the...
Do you guys go in a group? And
Yeah, or you meet them down there, you know, kind of if you spontaneously decide to go to an open mic.
That's a great...
Chances are someone you know are going to be there.
I envy you guys. do you pitch up and go, let's do it, and do a jam?
You can do that. Cause,
how good is that?
Like I was saying earlier, you know, everywhere in Brighton really is within 40 minutes. If you walk
it's
everywhere,
stupid.
You can... It's
it
great,
is. It
know.
Is. And so many little venues that are great.
So something I'm intending to do is maybe next year when uni starts again is do several open mics in one night.
Good.
You know, do one run over halfway across town.
Like an open mic crawl.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, without the beer. Cause,
A track in each.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. Well, listen, if it ever coincides, text us when you're planning to do one.
I will do.
And I'll put it out there and then people can pitch up and see you guys.
Great, thank you.
Because that sounds good. Now, listen, we've got time for one more live track. What have you got lined up?
This is brand new. I wrote the lyrics yesterday.
Are we honoured?
It's a lot of lyrics that I will try to remember.
Well, it's all there,
and
my
it's,
friend. What's it called?
I think it's called Flew Too Close to the Sun.
Flew Too Close to the Sun. Okay, but that's a little sort of working title.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Well, my friends, you're listening to Sam Jones. Flew Too Close to the Sun.
Thank you.
Sam, take it away.
I dare to ask the question, I'm sure many of us ask, is there something up there above us, guiding us on our paths? Cause I look up there in wonder, yet see nothing but the sky, hear nothing but the wind, carrying that god-awful lie. I'm not often one for sharing, just something that I don't do. So if I'm ever found sharing, it could only be with you. So now you're gone, I can't quite figure out what I've done wrong. What did I do to you to make you say I'm sorry to have to tell you, darling? But I'm not the kind of fool who likes to stick around when time gets tough. I thought you'd realize, but you might as well be blind for all the things that I've done never caught your eye. I never really fit in with what other people do. Oh, I wish that I could fit in and feel like one of you. 'Cause I never took that chance and I don't really intend to. 'Cause I never really see myself doing what it is you do. Well, you cut me down and buried me so low. The commentator's staking me for something I could throw. Talking on the telephone, I'd often hear you say that you're waiting on me desperately to play the games you play. Well, I'm sorry to have to tell you, darling, but I'm not the kind of fool that likes to stick around when time gets tough. I thought you'd realize, but you may as well have died, for all the things that I've done have passed your eye. Did I step out of line? Did I treat you unkind? Did I fly too close to the sun? Maybe I was right and you were just a lie. Am I flying too close to the sun? No. Why dare to ask the question? I know many people ask. Well, having to ask this question, then there's nothing else left to us. 'Cause I look up there in wonder, yet see nothing but the sky. I need a gentle hand to comfort me in the darkest of my times. Though I dare to ask this question, I'm challenging you. Come down from there and face me, I've got a few words for you.
Oh man, just to prove it was live too. Gorgeous song, Flew Too Close to the Sun. I want to leave the session with, well, a text in, really. I think it says it better than everyone, definitely better than I can say. Text in from Mad Auntie Sue. Shivers down my spine with this new track, Sam. I absolutely love it.
Thank you, Sue.
Thanks for that, Sue. And thanks for staying out there and listening. And thank you, Sam, for coming in.
Thank you, Pete. Thank you.
I really appreciate
it. And can I just say a shout out to my mother, because I'll get in trouble if I don't.
I think you will, my friend.
Yeah.
And you crowbarred it in the last few seconds.
I took the opportunity.
Just over the line you were, my friend. That was great. Listen, thank you so much for coming in. And please stick in touch, will you? Do that.
I will. Yeah, thank you.
It's just absolutely great to meet you. You take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Antonia Redding, coming to you from Radio.